It's January 23rd, 2018, and the free market will save us. I'm Colin Detmar.
And I'm Nick Cease, and this is Bottle Car Reborn, a free market podcast where we talk about the free market on a podcast.
And I let you do your part of the intro this time.
You did. I was so proud.
I'm getting better again.
Because we were going to have to fight. We were going to have to 1v1 to see who could stack the most camps in 20 minutes. Colin, before we begin, can I tell you about my dream?
Nick, what's your dream?
My dream, I was thinking this just this morning. It was probably like, you know, shower thoughts, whatever, getting ready. My dream for this podcast is that one day we get big enough that for some reason, either a farmer or perhaps a farmhand, that's probably more the Dota demographic, a farmhand, he's, you know, probably taking care of, you know, something in a barn, and he either has his phone out or, you know, probably the phone and the speaker is blaring, or hooks up to like some sort of sound system or Bluetooth, and he's working, and then someone is bringing the cows in to the barn because, you know,
where are we going
for some reason they're coming into the barn. I just really want a cow to listen to our podcast one day.
Huh.
Wouldn't that be great?
I mean, I'm down.
You just got a little, our bovine listeners. We could have the first podcast. Well, there's probably a cow podcast. Can I pause our recording?
There's a podcast called The Beef and Dairy Network.
MilkTheCowPodcast.com. Nope. This seems like meme. I'm very confused. Abort.
A cow is a cow. Of course. And no one can talk to a cow, of course. Unless, of course, the name of the cow is the famous Mr. Ed.
I've completely lost you, and I've completely lost any listeners we once had.
I can't make just references to Mr. Ed on this show anymore.
What is Mr. Ed?
Mr. Ed's the talking horse show from, like, what, like 1922
or
something?
Oh, yeah, of course,
bullshit.
That one that we all know for all of us.
Everybody
who
knows
born
fucking
in 1910.
Mr. Ed. Let me see.
TV show in 1921. What?
1961 to 1960. I was exaggerating for comedy, Nick. It was 1961 to 1966.
Okay.
It's Mr. Ed the Talking Horse. What's wrong with you?
I never said anything about it. I mean, fuck horses, man. They should not listen to our podcast.
No, don't. No? That's actually against the law. You can't do that.
Now that we are on the internet, I should watch my mouth. There it is.
Nick, what happened in Dota this week? The week before
this
that,
Fortnite,
too. Yeah.
The Fortnite, yeah. Our triumphant return, were rejuvenated, recarbureted, naturally aspirated.
Recarbonated.
First off, very, very carbonated. I want to talk about something near and dear to our hearts, Colin. What do you think? I can't do it. I couldn't get through it. What do you think about having a Gordon Ramsay announcer pack in our game? The other day on Reddit, it's probably a week ago at this point, somebody brought up a great idea, and I put it at the front of our notes, the very top, tip top, first level of our notes. Gordon Ramsay announcer pack, what a good idea. OMG, let's talk a lot about it.
Oh, like the famous chef. I get it. Oh,
I know the
chef from TV.
Uh-huh.
Oh, uh-huh. What the fuck is wrong with you people? What is your... What is
this
your hang-up?
Like,
what is your
front
malfunction?
Page, I'm pretty sure it's number one at some point on the Dota 2 subreddit. Your premier source for Bottle Car News.
Okay, first of all, not even getting to the real thing. Like, Gordon Ramsay? Like, listen, he's fine. Why is it Gordon Ramsay every time? Why, like, there are other people who have distinctive voices in the world.
Who are you? An idiot.
And then the other thing is, like, how many times are we going to do this, you guys? Like,
I mean, there's a thing on Reddit where people complain about, like, reposts or whatever. And then there's people who complain about it too much. And it's like, hey, occasionally new people come onto the internet and might not have seen things. But I swear to God, like, a month or two ago, I saw the Gordon Ramsay thing on the...
And also, like, okay, this isn't an independent invention, right? I refuse to believe that there are a bunch of different members of the Dota 2 community who keep independently being like, hang on, what if a Gordon Ramsay announced? No! No! That's
not
right!
It's under attack! You fucking idiot.
Listen.
Make sure to go vote for it in the workshop somewhere.
Listen.
Because that doesn't...
Gordon Ramsay's fine. I enjoy some of his work. I wish he didn't feel the need to exaggerate his reaction to things in order to get more attention and more viewership. But
thing
he
is I think
an entertainer, and that's...
Well, at least in the past,
I've seen other programs that he's been on where the thing isn't look at how mad Gordon Ramsay is. And he's a pretty chill dude.
I mean,
yeah,
he's got
great.
Like three Michelin-starred restaurants.
Three hyphen Michelin-starred restaurants.
So,
and I assume he's not just abusing his staff all the time. So, like...
not anymore. The thing is, like, you've watched Kitchen Nightmares, probably, right?
Sure.
Talked about it. And you've watched the UK version, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you watch the US version, and it's just trash. And they put in that sound to add tension like they do on all the reality TV shows.
Sure.
I hate that sound. That's the most 2000s sound in my mind.
I think it's like the bass drop in the trailer when, like, you know, just the doom. That's the most 2000s sound. But
there you go.
I know what sound you're trying to do, but it really doesn't sound like
the
sound.
I wonder if you could find one and just put it in for the rest of the episode whenever we say something really, really intense.
I'm probably going to have too much editing work to do, but that's a nice idea.
Yeah.
I'm not taking this out either.
So
I'm
Dota
let
2.
The listeners know how much I'm not trying.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll make sure we keep everybody up to date on the Gordon Ramsay announcer pack drama. But for now, let's get to some, at this point, kind of old drama, but still fresh and still new and I think still somewhat important.
What if it was a Guy Fieri announcer pack?
Hey, everybody, we're playing Dota 2. Who's your champions? I'm thinking of that one gif of me reverse slurping the noodle. You have to put that in the show notes, please. The gif. Everybody,
yeah,
please watch
it.
I do.
Even
if you're on your phone.
I do.
While driving, please pull up your phone. Guy
Fieri vomiting up an alien worm is just an incredible gif.
We are occasionally a Dota podcast. There's some qualifier drama we talked about before. I think had to do with Captain's Draft and the Summit. No. Mm-hmm. Captain's Draft and some in the Summit. They had qualifiers that were like overlapping and people had to basically like get automatically disqualified because of overlap because they
and then
you know deal with each other.
Yeah, and then we learned our lesson and that'll never happen again.
Of course, because things changed. And oh no, wait. Animal Planet and Optic had this big kind of like crash and like huge mess. I think it was at this point, yes, January 10th. Let me just run through things. Basically, the ending thing is that they had to, both Optic and AP were supposed to play games in the ESL1
Katowice
major qualifiers. And they both had to forfeit
Katowice.
Their games. Yep. No. Colin and I spent like 25 minutes falling down a hole of how to pronounce things.
Katowice.
Anyways, they had to forfeit, and their games were supposed to be against CES and VGJ Storm. So let me just take you through the timetables real quick. It was very difficult to put this together, and even though it's like a week or and a half old at this point, I'm still going to use it. Let me just walk you through the timetable of what happened this evening of January 10th. What happened? So all times are in UTC time, and I'm using military time, and then I go into the next day, but I keep the hours going. Starting at 2200 hours, they had the Star Ladder 4 minor qualifiers, Optic versus Animal Planet. Optic go 1-2, Animal Planet wins. This ends at 2456 or 56... 0056 at the next day, but 2456.
Why did you not roll over the hours? Who does this?
Because I was originally working in different time zones because different websites had different things. I should have just converted to UTC right away. Anyways, their next games for the PGL Bucharest Major, playing each other once again, was at 25 o'clock. Their game ended previously at 2456. And so they play these, and this time Optic wins 2-1 against Animal Planet. So they had a 6-game series against each other just from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. the next day, which that's just wonderful. I don't know what it is actually in their times. I don't even know where these teams are anymore. What even is an Animal Planet? It's that one TV show. Anyways, beginning at 28 o'clock was supposed to be the ESL 1.
Katowice.
I'm just going to keep saying the word so it overdubs and then it stops being funny. They were supposed to play their games. And so I think they must have taken a break at some point because they probably had to, I don't know, relieve themselves or eat or something because they've been playing Dota for like ridiculous amount of hours. 6 hours straight. Wonderful. And so then they both forfeit. And then there was this huge hubbub like, oh, because PPD, of course, takes to Twitter and says, oh, we were 5 minutes late. We got DC'd. ESL sucks.
Well, they were 17 minutes late.
They were
at least
35 minutes late.
Oh.
Because the way the rules were supposed to work, apparently they get bent all the time and stuff, or at least if you communicate, they do. It's 15 minutes per forfeit, and it was supposed to be a best of three, so they forfeit 2 games. And that's how it worked. And VGJ Storm got a lot of flack from PPD, or just like PPD was just flaming, really, because PPD. He's like, oh, wow. How? Of course, they would just take the win. They didn't want to wait for us because they knew they'd lose. Yada, yada. I'm the Salt Lord. And then there was conflicting things where both AP and Optic were willing to like forfeit their last game against each other just to go play these ESL 1 games. Because the way PGL's format works, there's more games, so they weren't going to be eliminated from the qualifiers, I think. But ESL's, they were going to be eliminated if they lost these games. It was like a whole big complicated thing, and there was a whole bunch of drama about it. And it sucked when I looked at this timetable. I'm like, Jesus. Because the day before, they were playing other games, too, for other qualifiers.
Mm-hmm.
But like, damn, they got a lot of shit to do.
Yeah. So it seems like there are a couple of other elements to this as well, right? Like, first off, there was, I wish I'd put it down in our notes, but there was another pro player who was streaming after all this went down, and somebody, of course, in chat, or donator, I forget, but was like, hey, what do you think of all this, like, this shit? Was like, man, it sure is screwed up that they didn't, you know, the schedule was so messed up. Mm-hmm. And the guy was like, yeah, we had one of those schedule conflicts. And so our manager just told them, hey, this is a schedule conflict 4 days in advance, and we fucking took care of it. It's what you do. And it's like, that's a fair point. It sounds like maybe this is a thing they should have tried to address before, like, before the time was already up.
I think the idea was that their games weren't supposed to go so fucking long. They went a 6-match. Like, it could have been very quick, the Star Ladder and then PGL. But and then I guess like a few hours before their managers started contacting ESL and nobody got back to them. I mean, it is like X hours in the morning for a lot of these people if they're in US East and stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's definitely a problem.
It was weird. It's like probably should have dealt with this, but at the same time, I think ESL was like saying like, I guess we can probably accommodate you, but Starletter I think wouldn't move, and I don't think PGL would move either. And especially the PGL qualifiers, because they have this whatever format they have, the GSL format, there's way more games to be played, so they probably don't really want to shuffle. Mm-hmm. But, like, boy, they're packing it in there. And then it was just another example of us getting to see the Salt Lord PPD. He was blaming Ritsu, like, almost non-jokingly, I think, for taking too many bathroom breaks at the beginning of the games.
And this is really hard for me, right? Because it's like two shitheads are yelling at each other, and whose side do I take? Because they both suck. So I feel like I've been pretty uniform in my stance on Ritsu. Everybody who listens to this show knows that I'm not a fan of Ritsu. I've been back and forth on PPD, and I wonder if I've just been wrong this whole time and he just sucks. Like this, I don't. You know, it's. I feel like he's a smart guy for sure, and a lot of the time he can be pretty funny, and he also can make really good points. And so you're like, oh, you know, sometimes he's probably legit angry, and you're like, ha, he's making a joke. Or like, you know, but it's like, no, he just kind of...
He's rarely willing to do whatever he needs to, like, you know, better his team or his, like, status. like the whole thing where, oh, maybe the Sumail and PPD drum at first was fabricated because, you know, any news is good news and publicity and stuff, which is absolutely true a lot of the times, depending on the situation. It's like he's very willing, and even here, like PPD complaining about an opposing team taking a win, like PPD fucking did that shit all the time, apparently. People were saying all sorts of stuff. Like, that sounds like exactly the thing PPD would do. He'd say, oh, no, won't reschedule at all. You're just... We'll take
the that statement especially just feels like pure politics. It's but, like,
it
no,
was really
no PPD.
Pissing me off when he was messaging Jack, who's the manager for VJJ Storm. I think that's the right title. And then just like going off on him, like, oh, wow, you know, we never do that. Wow, you guys wouldn't wait for us. But like VJJ Storm, they didn't know what was going on. They didn't know if they were going to wait 5 minutes or like another hour. Right. Mm-hmm. And so eventually they just said, like, I guess we'll take it, you know, when their enemy was 35 minutes late.
And also, and this is, like, listen, I'm not saying this to PPD. PPD knows this. PPD is saying this because he's trying to get some kind of advantage here, mm-hmm. right? He's trying to get some popularity or emotional or whatever leverage.
He's trying to get sympathy for this.
Right,
like,
he doesn't,
because,
Mike,
like,
he doesn't believe a lot of what he's saying. But in case some of you have bought in, this is their jobs. Winning determines their paychecks. Yeah, they took the fucking win.
Yeah.
I would too.
Yep.
Like, I wouldn't do that probably in 80-2L because who fucking cares?
Yeah.
Like, oh no, I might win the whole season of 80-2L and get $20. Like, I don't fucking care. But like, you're a pro, you take the win. Like, that's
it's another tough situation for everybody because none of the tournament organizers want or possibly can in certain like schedules change their qualifier times. Like, I'm mm-hmm. sure they're doing, you know, they try it and stuff, I'm sure. But I mean, it's hard, especially mm-hmm. when there's no oversight. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then you've got issues like, I mean, just PPD is going to be such a, he's at any situation, he's going to be such a self-advocate.
Yeah.
That it's like, He will either succeed and he will make everybody else look like the bad guys, or he'll fail and he'll make himself look like the bad guy. And the situation is more complicated than that.
Yeah. But I mean, people were also saying like, oh, you should just, you know, teams, there's so many tournaments, teams are just going to have to choose. And I mean, maybe they could have dropped, you know, the Star Letter Minor before all of this, but even then that mm-hmm. probably wouldn't have bought them a lot of time. And at the same time, I don't think you can, like, afford to pick and choose. You have to absolutely, like, chase every opportunity. Because what if you don't get into either major? At least maybe you're in Starliner or something. Get some points, get some money, get some cash flow. Mm-hmm. Like, there's never going to be a situation reasonably where a healthy competitive team is like, you know what? I think one major is fine for us. Let's not try. Let's not try to go through the qualifiers.
Well, and I mean, so here's the situation I could see. Right? We had a situation where Alliance recently got an invite to a major done basically, I apologies to Alliance, but they've done nothing to deserve it, right? And it's not like they haven't been around that long in the new form. It's not a sick burn on them. They just don't have the history yet. They don't have the results. I hope they have some amazing games, and I hope they show us some cool shit. But they don't have the results to justify from a pure, like, competitive standpoint an invite to a major. Mm-hmm. But there's so much more going on with this system than that.
Yeah, as I mean, we talked about that previously. Before, like, Navi getting invited to mm-hmm. a CIS tournament back when they were, like, it was their newest squad, I think, and people were like, oh, but Navi sucks, before they had some okay results.
Yeah, which, by the way, Navi's still getting a lot of invites. Like, you still are trying to pay the bills. You still are trying to get viewers. You are still trying to get, like, eyes on advertisements. You're gonna invite teams that get views. Teams like Navi. Teams like Alliance.
Yep.
And that's just, like, you that's gonna be the nature of the beast. Yeah. So, I think, like, teams like that might be able to afford to pick and choose some because their performance isn't like, you know, they'll get a lot of invites because they don't necessarily have to perform as, and I don't, you know, I'm not trying to in any way accuse these teams of sandbagging or anything, right? Like, I saw some Navi playing some games recently and they were playing their fucking hearts out, and I love to see it. but like they're not all in the same position. Teams like Optic, at least the way Optic is right now, they probably have to do every single qualifier. I bet Na'Vi could skip some and they'd be fine.
Yep. So. We'll see. It actually, right, I forgot about this. Right after, not necessarily right after, but in the time since we last recorded, Valve announced, I think what it is, or applications for tournaments. I think it's majors first and then minors for the fall 2018 season. And it sounds like they're going to cut back on the number of tournaments, I think. I think they said they won about three. And that sounds about better.
Wait, majors and minors? They want three? I don't think I saw this. That's
I think that's it, I not can't a remember. Lot. I think it was three majors.
Okay.
Valve invite proposals. Yeah. So Valve announced that they're looking for three majors in the fall season, and they said, you know, these are soft dates. You can change them. But what they want to have is grand finals October 20th. November 17th and December 15th. So actually like 1 month apart majors.
That would be good.
And it seems like if they're actually giving dates, that maybe there's going to be a little bit more oversight or just more planning on like spacing things out better so that qualifiers naturally will kind of flow a little easier.
Do you feel like this is Valve trying to say without saying, you guys need to stop cannibalizing each other?
I mean, I don't think they ever will, though, until there's some big conglomerate or something and they all decide. But I think it's always going to try to completely saturate the tournament market, I guess.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's still, like, it hurts the players more, or, like, the teams. And then I guess occasionally, like, reputation, if you get some sort of shit show that happens with scheduling, it might hurt your organization. But you're not going to let somebody, some other organization's tournament stop you if it's at all possible, right?
Man, you know what else is a shit show?
Everything.
ESO1 Genting is going on right now.
Oh boy, is it ever. You wouldn't know it, except for the fact that there's all sorts of drama about it. So of course we're going to talk about it. And all the drama, for the most part, stems from the fact that ESL signed some sort of exclusive English and Portuguese streaming deal with Facebook? We saw this a few days, or maybe like a week before the actual main event started, that, hey, we're only going to be on Facebook in English and Portuguese.
Yep.
And that was like, wait, what? Everyone was kind of confused. I was taken aback myself. I'm like, geez, it's more of maybe it's not. I mean, Facebook has plenty of fucking cash to throw around, but for ESL to actually accept their offer, I would imagine it would have to be huge. Or maybe they're idiots. I don't want to, you know, speak ill of people, you know, but maybe they're idiots.
Do you want to hear what ESL said about the move?
Please.
Quote, we may lose 10 or 15% of our audience, but then we grow because we reach a new audience.
Oh, it was so
they lost 85% of their viewers.
Oh, at least. There was like at one time when PPD was pulling a few thousand, PPD Bulldog and MLP Dota have all been pulling a lot of views on Twitch because, hey, you know, we had this a little bit of drama before, but you can, like Valve has said, yeah, you can stream through Dota TV these tournaments as long as you don't put up ads or steal, you know, their other content, which totally makes sense. And that's what's happening because they're streaming only on Facebook. And,
yep.
Like, what new audience did they hope to find on Facebook? Was there some sort of Facebook hole an audience was stuck in, and then, oh, look, we brought our Dota tournament to you. Now you're free from being unable to watch on Twitch or YouTube or any other place that normally streams.
Listen, this is a bad idea, but you have to admit that compared to Twitch, Facebook, in the most theoretical possible way, has the ability to hit a wider market, has ability to hit, like, people who don't normally see a Dota 2 tournament.
I guess because Facebook itself could, and it wouldn't be unreasonable if for them to do this,
what if
promote
Nick,
ESL because they're trying to promote their own streaming service?
Nick, your last name is Cease. You said that at the start of the podcast. I'm not blowing up your spot here.
That's correct.
What if Grandma Cease is on Facebook and she wants to see what she wants to see what her little grandson is up to, and she's like, oh, he liked this SO1 Catovice. What is this? And she clicks and she's like, oh, it's a tournament.
Look, there's full people in the stadium.
Look. Yeah. This is exciting.
Screen.
Oh, this is great. This is like that movie Tron I used to watch, and she has a great time.
Yes, my grandmother, known mega fan of Tron.
Listen, I'm not going to make assumptions about your grandma. That was
fair.
A theoretical.
That's true, my theoretical grandma.
I know you don't actually have a grandma, but theoretically,
course,
if you did.
None of us ever have. Grandmas are a government conspiracy, but that's for my other podcast. You're not wrong. However,
yeah,
I mean, you're not wrong. It's not like you couldn't promote Twitch, or like Twitch isn't promoted on Facebook, because like people could just, I mean, you can link your Twitch in the very top of your Facebook page for ESL1 Genting or something, I guess. But, you know, Facebook itself could much more easily promote their own streaming service, and they have more reason to than, you know, random things you'd see for Twitch that people posted or the actual organizers posted. And in that way, I guess it does make sense. But, I mean, first off, and this is probably a temporary thing, but the Facebook Live platform is not meant for this. And so the stream quality for a lot of people is shit. It's very, like, weird and buggy for a lot of people, which is shit. And on mobile, you have to, like, download the Facebook app, and it's shit for a lot of people.
Katowice.
Katowice. And it's so, this was so predictable. Like,
yeah.
I can't imagine the sum of money that ESL would have to accept. Because, oh, and this was another thing we're about to get into. I mean, you can accept money for broadcasting rights, sure. But that's an abstraction to the actual value created by these like spectator sports, right? Like the NFL, they sell broadcasting rights to, you know, whoever, like maybe NBC, they'll buy the broadcasting rights for this. NBC will only pay for that because then they can show ads, and that's how they make money, because people like to watch the sport. If you don't have the people, there's no value. And then Facebook's like, well, we don't care about this anymore. We're not going to pay you. But at this point, like, you've hurt your brand because people haven't been watching your tournament or your tournaments, as because Katowice might be streamed on Facebook too. And then, like, you've hurt your brand. So, like, long term, this is like, it's very hard to actually create value from this. You have to bet on Facebook getting you a new audience or not drastically destroying your current audience.
I mean, well, okay, let's do a theoretical here, right?
Okay.
This is Facebook. These are the guys
Mark Zuckerberg.
These are the guys who bought, like, what was it? They bought Instagram, I think, right?
Oculus.
And they bought, yeah, they bought Oculus. They bought these companies that are not, like, necessarily making money right now because they're willing to invest in the long term, right? So let's say Facebook says, ESL, esports is a shit show, and we're betting you're the ones who are going to break through and make it, like, big. So, and whatever you think of that call, we're like, okay, you're going to lose a lot of money at first as far as viewers for us, but we're going to give you enough money to keep running your tournaments, regardless of viewership. We're going to put in the money up front and we're going to lose some, but that's going to pay off for us in the end.
Yeah.
We're going to play the long game because we're Facebook and we have 20 goddamn zillion dollars.
Yeah. I mean, Facebook could just forget about the deal and then, like, keep paying ESL, even if they go back to Twitch or something. That's like,
yeah, like I was subscribed to World of Warcraft for like months after I stopped playing because I was like, I keep forgetting to cancel the subscription. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
It's and then, like, so that's one thing, and the fact that all this has happened and, like, their viewership dropped and people are kind of upset because even if they try, like, our friend, like, Dreams, on the We Like Dota podcast, so I don't mind calling him out. He was, you know, we were messaging in our AD12 chat, and he's like, guys, where can I, isn't ESL going on? Where can I watch it? And he's, out of all of us, probably the one who watches, like, Dota the most, or, like, mm-hmm. you know, Twitch and stuff the most. And he's like, where can I find this? It was, like, not even well advertised that they'd be on Facebook, and it was just bad. And then there's a whole other layer because, of course, people have been complaining. And so, what's his name? Let me pull up this link. Ulrich Schultz. Oh, I'm definitely mispronouncing that. Hopefully there's an MSA's clip for Ulrich Schultz. The vice president, senior vice president of product at ESL has been, you know, tweeting about this because he's angry that people are angry. And he's saying a lot of very corporate things that sound very non-Dota to me. I mean, this is my typical opinion of, like, very grassroots consumer-focused preference to the Dota 2 esports scene. He says, here is how many Dota tournaments there are going to be in the future if no one is taking money for broadcast rights anymore. Exactly one. The International. Having your cake and eating it too never works. It's like, what? What are you doing? No.
The most unfortunate thing about all this is that the front page of the Dota 2 subreddit is filled with ESL this, ESL that threads instead of actual talk about the matches of this minor. You're not wrong. That's your fault.
Yes. There's some, like, great savage, at least to me, like, comments in these threads that are, you know, talking about these tweets. It's just like, what? And actually, 3 minutes ago, they set up live.esl1.com, which has an embedded Facebook now, and they're pulling a whole 1.8 thousand viewers at this point. So,
oh, man.
I highly doubt this works on mobile, but they have, like, different streams here listed. That's okay. This is a thing you should have. All people should have this kind of thing where it shows all the different streams for the different languages and the different streams you might have if you have concurrent games. It's a thing you should have. It shows the schedule on the right, too. This is actually pretty – here, I'm going to link this to you. This is a pretty good website, but you're still not getting a lot of viewers. Maybe they'll get more now that he tweeted about it, but if it doesn't work on mobile, it's still –
oh, yeah, this is a good site. This is a good website.
This is what everyone should fucking have. It's like, we know ESL is competent, right? I mean, there's always complaints about their tournaments, just like there's complaints about any tournaments on Reddit. But, like, we know they're not like some Fallout gaming thing. Like, you know, we have drama to mention about galaxy battles. But, like, they're not idiots is the thing. But whoever made this decision... Yeah, and then to see all this corporate speak about, oh, if we don't start selling broadcast rights, there's going to be no more Dota 2 tournaments. It's like, buddy, you don't have any idea what you're talking about. Like,
well,
it's absolutely not necessary to make money because there's all these tournaments doing it. Maybe their margins would be better if they sold broadcasting rights. But
I want to back down from this a little bit here, Nick, because I do think he's probably wrong, right? And I do think he's not. Like, I do think he's not considering all the information. I do think he's making a hasty judgment. But, like, I want to back away from being the people saying, you don't know what you're talking about, when he runs Dota tournaments and other tournaments for a living, and we talk into a microphone about Dota not for a living. I don't know that we're the ones to give this impassioned speech about how it's so profitable.
I think we exactly are.
Why? We don't know the numbers.
It comes. We don't know ESL's numbers. We know the number of tournaments, and we know that they keep announcing tournaments, and that Dota is not a dead game. And in fact, we have too many tournaments, which means too many people think they can make money. And at this point, we're not like a very new industry. We're not like a very new scene. So they're probably not all wrong about making money. And guess what? Guess what? They don't have to sign broadcasting rights with ESPN or Facebook.
Here's a possibility, right? And I hope this isn't true, and I don't think this is probably true, but here's a possibility. What if this is a gold rush? What if a bunch of people saw League of Legends and how League of Legends is doing and their numbers and was like, fuck, we gotta get that League of Legends money. But, like, League of Legends, Riot Games doesn't really let other people in on that. They kind of have that locked down. hang on, here's this Dota game. This is like League of Legends. It's its biggest competitor. And it's a free-for-all. Maybe we'll lose some money on these tournaments, but we're getting skin in the game. We're investing in this real estate, and then it's gonna get big, Daddy! It's gonna get real big! Like, without the numbers, I just feel really hesitant to make claims about profits and I don't know.
Well, I feel no remorse whatsoever in saying that this is a stupid-ass tweet because he's making the ultimatum. Sure. Like, if he says, like, guys, I'm the senior vice president of product. I know the margins. In the end, like, the scene is heading towards broadcasting rights. And Nahaz has a tweet, I'm not happy about it, but I feel obligated to point out that broadcast rights are the largest source of economic rents for nearly every professional or major competitive sports league around the world. Esports is not different just because we're esports.
Yeah.
I still, like, sure, that's absolutely true, I'm sure, for, like, the major sports and stuff. But I am always kind of hesitant when people make a direct comparison to traditional sports with esports, and I think Dota especially. It's easier to watch than it is to play, but I still don't, like, it's not a stretch to say that esports will not in our lifetime have the same kind of willing audience as traditional sports. It's crazy. Give it 100 years, maybe. I don't know. Maybe 50.
Well, and also, it's a different, like, so here's the thing about baseball, right? How long have people been watching baseball on TV for?
Since there were TVs.
Decades and decades. How long have people been watching Dota 2 for?
Like, over a decade. Not on Twitch, because Twitch wasn't happening.
And, like, so that's the thing, right? Is, like, yeah. part of why traditional sports are broadcast the way they are is because they used to be broadcast the way they are. Mm-hmm. And, like, if baseball was invented a year ago, I bet the system of broadcasting would look pretty fucking different.
Yep.
So it doesn't, like, I see the comparison Nahaz is making, and I think it's a point excellently made, but it's also more complicated than that. You need to consider, yeah, you know, as you say, the audience, you need to consider monetization, you need to consider when and how a thing is created.
Now I'm happy about Nahaz's tweet. I read it immediately after reading ESL's VP's tweet, so I was more salty. But yeah, he's like, it is important to note, like, hey, in traditional sports, there's a shit ton of money here, millions of dollars passed around so that NBC or, you know, whoever, I'm probably getting all this wrong, can sell their crazy high cost Super Bowl ads, right? How much do you think they pay the NFL for that? You know, it's a bidding war, I'm sure. It's not that that's not going to happen in Dota. Like, if it continues this way with, like, the way the scene's set up, sure. Like, I can totally see that. But to say, like, that your tournament's not going to make money if you don't sell broadcasting rights is so wrong. Like, yeah, I don't see where the trend is to even suggest that. To say, like, hey, we're going to make a lot more money than you dumbasses because we're selling broadcasting rights and we're going to get this Facebook audience. Sure, maybe he's right there. You know, we have no idea about that. But it's so out of touch to say that you can't do it.
You look at some of the things that I worry about nitpicking too much here, right?
Sure.
But you look at some of the things that tournaments spend their money on, right? And, like, listen, I listen, you're fucking ESPN hotspot desks or whatever, they're adorable, but, like, you probably don't need them. If you're trying to save some money, you could probably not with that. You could probably set up an IKEA. It'd be fine. IKEA. No one would care.
The summit, like, wait, what summit are we on next? 5, 6?
I don't even
know. Would be next? The summit 7, I want the first panel to have to set up their desk. Imagine, hire me as your fucking tournament or your production manager. Imagine a world where the talent has to put their PC and their desk together.
Nick, I just want Eternal Envy and RTZ trying to build an
holy shit desk. Midas mode. No, Midas mode, but it's Survivor, the reality TV show. So, like, both teams will get onto the stage and they'll be okay, ready, set, go. And then the teams have to run around and it's like Cutthroat Kitchen. Wait, no, now it's Cutthroat Kitchen. They have to run in and they have to like get their desks and get their PCs and stuff. And if you forget something, then like you have to deal without it. And then during the game, you can pause and sabotage your opponent or like buy something for yourself. Oh, this is great.
Slacks. Nick's idea is fun, but kind of impractical. Here is my definitely practical idea.
Okay.
You have your bank account for your team for Midas mode. This is Midas mode 2.
Okay.
But teams can get a slightly larger bank if they show up early and build the desks and chairs.
What if they set up the event? And that's how you get free.
Uh-huh.
That's how you get free labor. That's just capitalism, Colin. You're brilliant.
I mean, it'd have to be a LAN, Colin, at that point, but
that's true.
You know,
I mean, it's going to be a major. I think Gabe said something in our Slack the other day about it replacing TI.
Or okay, here's the other alternative: is you can earn some moonbucks. By being an admin for a different team's match.
So you just see like OG playing and sitting behind his with a headset on is fucking Jackie LaMau.
Oh god.
We have some great ideas sometimes.
We do.
Imagine Blitz and Cap, like the cameras pan down onto them very awkwardly, and so you see like the cement floor and they're just like sitting there with the instructions for an IKEA desk.
What if you could earn mood bucks by swapping places with a commentator? Like, okay, you can earn 5,000 mood bucks.
That would be
great.
I want to see Blitz.
You just have to have Toby play this round. He'll play your mid and
that's and then Jack's just, it's a disaster. That would be Sykes, you have so much to work with. I wish you the best. You have to make money too, I guess. Maybe you should sell your broadcasting rights to Bottle Crow. We'll stream you at bottlecrow.com through Twitch.
any Bottle Crow streams, any official Bottle Crow streams at this point would probably go through twitch.tv/scanlinemedia if you want to go ahead and...
Look at that accidental cross promotion I did for you.
Yeah.
I realized...
Definitely accidental.
I realized something we left off the notes. Are we done? I think we're done talking about ESL 1 game.
Yeah. I feel like anymore and we're just kind of hammering home on the same points. Yeah. So.
Ohio got kicked from Fnatic. That happened in the past 2 weeks.
It did.
And he was replaced with Universe like the next day. So basically they qualified for, oh God, I don't remember what they qualified for. There's too many tournaments, guys.
I think it was Katowice, right?
Katowice? Yeah, I think it was probably Katowice. That's Italian. And spelled differently. And then Ohio was kicked basically as soon as they qualified, because that's when your like roster unlocks. And he was replaced with Universe. Mm-hmm. So Universe has found a home, but now there's the pizza party meme because...
Yeah, because he was kicked during a pizza party.
All the, like, Arteezy, wow, that's the only pro player I can think of who did it. Lots of people are tweeting about how they're having pizza now.
Universe posted a little video of himself having some Papa John's.
Having a slice. I could go for some pizza now. It was unfortunate. EE went on Hotbed and talked about it.
Ohio is a good dude, and I personally think EE is a good dude, but like a lot of people I personally know who are generally good people, they have blind spots where they're kind of shitty. EE is consistently kind of shitty when it comes to dealing with team management, especially kicking people.
I think he did it the best he could.
No.
Honestly, I think he was a good captain here. No?
I mean, I think he did what was, like, most like profitable for his team, if that's what you mean. Mm-hmm. But there's a level of professional, like, they waited until he, like, it, you tell him before you do the qualifier, because it's like, hey, you're not gonna have a job in about 24 hours. You don't just like dump someone's fucking, like, he didn't do anything wrong, and like, it's fine if you're gonna kick him because you've got a better option, but that was a really shitty way to do it.
I as a like a personal level, you're right, but you're absolutely wrong on a professional level. Like when you fire someone, you have security walk them to their desk and walk them out the door. Like you don't say, like, even if it's the best person, their job performance, you know, it's like they have no motivation besides their own professional reputation, but only like stops you from throwing the game.
But like when you do like a trade, right? Like when you trade a player in sports, like they know in advance. This isn't like,
but that's,
hey,
that's
I hope you're. Why?
Because normally, like in professional sports, like trades happen on the off season. They don't happen during.
That's
the
true.
Season.
That's true. That's a very good point. Well, then, I mean, then this kind of should have happened in the off season.
The thing is, also, it's complicated because Valve really quickly also announced the next roster lock period. And it ends soon. It's the last one before TI.
Yeah, it's a...
EE went on Hotbid. I would recommend if anyone has strong feelings about it to listen to his interview. Because he says a lot about it. And it was a complicated situation. I think he did absolutely the right thing for Fnatic. And I think that's what he had to do. But it does suck for Ohio. But he wasn't gelling with the team, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I might have been swayed by, first off, just by like by Ohio's, you know, posted a thing about it, and Ohio just seemed really hurt in a way that he's a good dude.
He was told about it like in the past. Like it really does suck, but like he was put on notice that like things weren't gelling. And he fixed like
I didn't know that.
I think whose post? Like he was underperforming and like not practicing or like playing enough Dota at one point. And he fixed that. Mm-hmm. But apparently there was just still issues on the team that led them to want a fresh person.
And also, I mean, like, Universe becomes a free agent.
Yeah, like, I was gonna say, Jesus. It sucks. It's one of those situations where it's like, yeah, it's just good business.
Yeah. All right. You're right.
It's unfortunate.
That sucks.
But you love them so much.
Listen, that's the thing is, like,
and it's a very
I can't be unhappy. I can't be unhappy with this end result. That's a fucking scary team.
Yeah.
If they work out. I'm looking forward to more GIFs of EE mentioning, like, saying what hero he's going to draft and Universe just, like, reeling.
Those are the best. Yeah. Colin, shall we close it out with a few more bits of drama?
Sure. God, this is an all-drama podcast.
It's really just all drama. And
we can talk about our weeks, and we'll talk about our week in Dota. I don't know, next episode. Listen, we took a week off.
I played some Dota.
We took a week off, but the drama did not. No, I played some too. It's just we don't have time.
We played even together more than usual. We played three games yesterday or 2 games. But so we mentioned Galaxy Battles. That was a whole nother thing. We actually missed the drama cycle on. That's what happens when you go Fortnightly accidentally. It was. So, like, teams were still there. EG still went, and OG still went, except No Tail and S4 were not there, and they were, like, smoke and the ganja, basically. They were tweeting about it. I mean, I think there was some sort of No Tail tweet where he implied that, yes, they were, in fact, blazing it up while watching their team. It was okay. They had, you know, issues reminiscent of a new, like, organization, Fallout Gaming. They got a lot of hate. There was a lot of counter to the hate too. I'm sure they did fine. Like I didn't end up watching any of it, but it was okay. Like a lot of people try hard. Oh boy, I realize I don't know how to pronounce this. Eri Neiman.
Katowice,
who was the host, like the stage host, and he's I think been in a lot of these like non-majority English speaking. Minors for a lot of the time. Like I've seen him around a lot and he did a good job. Like he was definitely like carrying the production and stuff from what people were saying. And it's not like there wasn't any value there. You know, during the weekdays, there was lots of Ricky cosplayers in the stadium, but it was also a massive stadium. They were holding it in and there was lots of other issues about it. Drama. It was okay. I mean, they had like, it was originally supposed to be 16 teams. I think it went down to like 8, and they still had issues with that. But a lot of the teams were saying it was okay.
Well, and you got to figure like, okay, so all these teams are dropping out, and Valve has said you're no longer a major, or a minor, I guess it was, right? Because of the, major. You know, the issues. Was it a major? I'm getting all mixed up. Whatever.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, you're no longer a Valve-sponsored event because of the issues out of your control by the Filipino government.
Yep.
I think that's a situation where, like, that probably means you have to start, like, spontaneously downscaling your production. Because you're like, oh, shit, all this money is not going to be here.
I mean, at that point, like, was all the money traded hands by then? I mean, maybe there's, like, buyout clauses in the contract or something. I don't – you have to pay for that shit in advance, rent the venue.
Nick, it's Valve.
Have to fly people in.
Maybe – no, that's the tickets. Thing is they probably spent all the money on their end. And they were like, Valve's paycheck will show up any day now. they said
we don't actually
soon.
Know if they get a paycheck is the thing. It was never quite clear how much they're going to support, and I haven't dug for it, but we haven't heard from tournament organizers because we know they get the $500,000 or the $300,000, I think, to make it major or minor. But that's all for the prize pool.
Well, but even – okay, you're right. But even if that's the case
– it brings an audience, which is money, though.
Uh-huh, and also it brings sponsors, right? When Valve comes out and says – this tournament does not represent us, and we're pulling out.
Yeah.
Some sponsors are going to be like,
okay,
bye.
FYM Hot Sauce is like, fuck you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, FYM Hot Sauce would never do that. Look good, folks.
You know, money suddenly. It's more like, I don't know how much that would actually allow you. I don't know how much downsizing would help. And so it seems like this is the most they were really prepared for, which maybe that's good for Fallout Gaming. They can come back stronger, more prepared, and I don't know, there's lots of issues apparently with the venue and its location and the shady dealings behind it stuff. But
I mean, like, I feel like staff would be the thing you would probably downsize, because that's the thing you could
dynamically
tell people at the pizza party they couldn't come to. The
yes, you know? Exactly.
The pre-Galaxy Battles pizza party, you know.
Exactly. We have one new major announced, May 4th to 6th, Epicenter XL Moscow. With a $1 million prize pool. 12 teams.
Epicenter is a great tournament. I'm excited about this.
Yeah. It's always like consistently pretty solid. Mm-hmm. And then finally, Colin, I know you've been waiting for it. This whole show. Notice the one topic. We brought back the Gordon Ramsay topic. Notice the one topic we didn't talk about was custom games. Custom games. Custom games.
Can we go back to Gordon Ramsay?
So, like most, I mean basically all of the main custom game developers put together safecustomgames.github.io, which is like a Dota, like a fancy Dota formatted website with the stuff that they want. And then, and it like shows like specific things they want, like bug tracker, better servers, more consistency, yada, yada. And all that's, you know, great stuff that would be great for them. And then it's like, what can you do? Right to the Dota team, post on Reddit. It was unfortunate. But it was cool to see like all these main people get together. So that happened. And then there were bots that spammed this, joined lobbies, custom game lobbies, and just spammed this link. So you couldn't play custom games. It was pretty like, I don't think you know what you're doing here, bot maker. Mm-hmm. So for a while, custom games were fairly unplayable if you didn't just make your own custom lobby with a password.
Yeah, it's
nothing new to report on this front. Let's not even go into it unless you have anything.
I'll say that I don't think all of their requests are reasonable.
I mean, probably none of them are for Valve because they seem to not care. We'll see. I mean, those things would take time.
Yeah, I mean, some of them don't seem reasonable to me, an optimist who wants this all to work out.
I see. Like what? You have any
Like automated dedicated servers? Like, no.
What?
That's not.
That's one of the more reasonable things.
No, it's not.
So the way dedicated servers work, you see like at the top right, whenever you go into a custom game, it might have a little green thing that says dedicated servers. Valve like manually handed out their own servers to certain custom games to play on, which is better because then people don't have to host it locally, so it's less lag, less stress on their computer. It's just easier for everybody, and it's more consistent with like ping and stuff.
Sure,
but they did that on a case by case basis, and then they—that's
because you
now
need to do
stopped.
That's because you need to do custom work when you create It's not. It's not as simple as just like let me just turn on this Gateway 2000 and we're good. Like it's harder than that to create dedicated. It's not.
I don't think you...
All right, well...
What do you think the server does? They have to have to run it on the server.
Yeah,
they
but
have
you
to
need
run you need the mod on the server.
Right, but you also need a special version of the software for that.
I don't know the back end
think,
of Dota
I think,
well enough,
I think
but I don't
automating
think
that's a good the pro- I think automating the process is not... Anyway, well...
I think that's one of the more reasonable things. You can just have a gateway for number or players or, you know, manually if Valve thinks your game is cool. But right now, according to Baumi, they just stopped. And so they have to have workarounds where, like, Baumi took his old, like, save your peon or something. I'm going to stop talking about you peon. But he had to take some old game that happened to have a dedicated server. Nobody played it, but it still had it. And he had to re-upload his, like, Frostavus game in order for it to have a dedicated server. Because they're just not giving him out anymore.
Okay, maybe judging by that description, it is different than I thought. And I will admit that.
It totally depends on the back end. But it sounds like it's not. They don't have to, Valve doesn't have to custom code.
Yeah, most of my experience is like, you know, like 2003 trying to do dedicated server stuff with like, you know, Battlefield 1942 and shit. So no. I guess we've gotten better at it since then.
We have the technology. I mean, I'm sure Valve probably just bought fucking Amazon S3 servers.
Yeah,
I will stop talking
Amazon.
About. Yeah, they just bought Amazon. Valve announces, we don't make games anymore. We make cardboard boxes.
We make movies.
I am here. How about I just lead us in? The day is January 25th.
Nick, we're not doing a new podcast.
No, but this is somehow more important than any of the other shit we complained about this episode, Colin.
I guess you're right.
I've enjoyed a slight amount of alcohol, and I've poured some more alcohol as I just saw a little thing pop up on blog.dota2.com/2018/01/DotaTV streaming. Because we missed the drama cycle, but then as soon as we recorded, we were already behind. We had already missed breaking drama.
Yeah. And it was like the episode was already going to be late this week, and I was like, I could just push this out, but like we really should just record a little drop-in here about developments since the podcast, because they're real big.
We planned that this morning, because ESL... basically, as soon as we stopped recording the podcast, started banning, I think it was BSJ, maybe Bulldog.
They sent Bulldog basically like an unofficial threat, sort of like, hey,
cease and desist.
you better fucking blink, or what's up?
Yeah, there was this great new streamer people are talking about, MLP Dota, and he got that and was like, oh, well, that certainly kind of sucks. But hey, you know. Thanks to ESL's use of the Facebook platform, all these tier 2, tier 3 streamers, casters are getting their time to shine, and that's just wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then they started issuing these DMC takedowns that Twitch have to, you know, honor, and they have to take down the channel for a while. And then they recently, well, it was like a day of this went on, and then people were like, hey, you can't actually do that, you know, right? And like... that's kind of bad, and there might be legal ramifications. Like, people can countersue.
Yeah, because what they're doing is they're doing DMCA takedowns, which is a kind of takedown notice where you say you are using our copyrighted material and stop or we'll sue you. And it's like, that's not your copyright.
No. And there's penalties if you knowingly, like, submit these requests and, like, abuse the system for stuff that you know isn't yours. And that combined with the lovely antics of... Ulrich, the ESL's VP of product, I believe, who's just kind of continued his Twitter tantrum and general, like, seemingly very out of touch, no, it's the kids who are wrong on Reddit approach. And listen, like, we will be the second person, I guess, probably not the first, to say that Reddit is dumb. Of course, the internet is plenty, plenty dumb, but it doesn't mean they're not right about certain things. Mm-hmm. And so we had the AMA, Ulrich came on and did an AMA on Reddit, which was, you know, the PR move to try to clear things up. And even that was handled poorly. Like, normally this is, I think, organizations use this just generally on Reddit to, you know, get vent consumer frustration and stuff. And even if you don't actually say anything, which is most likely, you know, oh, well, people have vented their frustrations, so maybe they're happier now or something. But this guy is just like whatever stuff the PR team fed him. It was not good. So well, he like also, deleted his like, first one and reposted it. Yeah.
I feel like AMAs at least recently have more than once gone this sort of way, right? Like outside of Dota,
I feel like that's the way they go most of the time.
Yeah. It's like these corporate AMAs where it's like, it's cool. We'll hold this Q&A session. We'll get everything back on message, back on brand. And it's like, no, it's Reddit. I mean, they don't give a shit about your message. They want to ask what they want to ask, and they'll get pissed if you're dodging their questions.
Exactly. Like, people use AMAs because they see this market Reddit, and they're like, oh, there's this tool that these people use, and it's like, it's casual, it's conversational, you know. And so it'll be cool, and you can interact with fans and, you know, promote your thing this way for free. And that's and also
naive.
These PR moves. Yeah, of course. I mean, I don't know. It works. Like, it works a lot, and that's a common thing on Reddit. But
I feel like it works when they're already on your side or kind of want to be on your side. If
I mean,
you are
like
the enemy, it's not going to work.
Yeah, no. Like, unless it's really that complicated of an issue or you're really getting, like, that much vitriol from some sort of dark, nasty corner of the internet, which there are plenty, for sure, but you don't, like, go to that nasty corner and say AMA and expect people to understand you, especially if, like, you don't have any new answers or anything. It's just your same, like, he basically came on this AMA and he's like, you know, I've really struck the wrong tone the past 2 days. And people are like, well, yeah, for sure. You're struck the wrong tone and you're acting like not a person who's apparently been in this industry for 15 years and is like the senior VP of ESL product. But regardless of that, like, even like, there are so many things to talk about. The Facebook streaming exclusive thing was one thing. And it's like, well, that's probably not a great decision. Maybe it's going to be good for them long term. And then when you bitch about people not watching your stream and instead watching Twitch streams, and then you issue these illegal DMCA notices, then like you're really in for the shit and you can't just complain about it. And it's like, what? Nobody gives a shit about your business except the people in your business. That's the way capitalism works. No, yeah. Like, the consumer doesn't care about the business. The business has to create value and then have profit margins and shit. And so it was really baffling what the hell he was doing. And then right before we're about to record this, I was playing some PUBG with Jesse, incidentally, actually. And Colin messages me and he's like, I know you've probably seen this, right? But there's been new developments. Because what we were waiting for, I didn't expect to see, Valve actually issued a statement on this. Another statement on Dota TDV streaming.
And there was a little bit of vagueness in this one, but we'll just read out in full. I think it's a stronger statement than I expected.
We've been seeing a bunch of discussion regarding Dota TV.
Whoa. What is this new character?
Before.
Is this like
it's
Dracula?
Me. What's another word for ice? I need to come up with a bad name on the spot. It's me, High Polymer Eraser from Pentel, that is currently sitting on my desk.
How about Graf Essie? Because it's like Alucard and Dracula. It's Ice Rock backwards. Graf Essie.
Say it again.
Graf Essie?
Graf Essie. It's me, Graf Essie. So, the first issue we've been seeing discussed is regarding DMCA notices. This one is very simple. It's me, Tom Brokaw, No one besides Valve is allowed to send DMC notices for games streamed off of Dota TV that aren't using the broadcaster's unique content, camera movements, voice, etc. Continue, Colin.
The second issue is regarding those... I'm adding words. I'm going to start that over. The second issue is regarding who is permitted to cast off of Dota TV. We designed the Dota TV guidelines to be flexible in order to allow for up-and-coming casters or community figures like BSJ and Bulldog, note the name check, that occasionally watch tournament games on their channel to be able to stream off of Dota TV. It is not to allow commercial organizations like BTS to compete with the primary stream. It'll be our judgment alone on who violates this guideline, and not any other third parties. And that's the end of the statement.
Get fucked.
It's I actually sent them an email.
ESL? Valve?
No. Valve. I sent the there's a form on Valve's website where you can be like, I want to send an email, I want to send it to the Dota 2 team. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I know you guys, you know, you do whatever you do. Thank you for running the game. We're really grateful. You really can't stand for this, and we're not going to stand for it. Like, and I'm not usually that person, but it's like, no, this one's over the line, and I think they fucking agreed.
Yep. I was retweeting some salty things on the Bottle Code Twitter, because I'm like, no, I need to do this. I want to record this. Yeah. You were trying to, you know, you were playing the devil's advocate and trying to be reasonable, which this current episode, trying to, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt and stuff like that, because we don't really know what we're talking about when it comes to, well, literally anything, but especially when it comes to, like, the business decisions behind this. But it so quickly after the episode was recorded became not even about the business decisions anymore. It became clearly not about that when they issued these legal takedowns. And then people were like, this doesn't seem very legal. I think you can, you know, file a counterclaim and then sue, or, like, you know, do something to get penalties. And then what's his name? Ryan, or whoever, the esports law guy, who now has his own, like, esports law firm, like, made a post about it. And it was, you know, fairly middle of the road, but it was also very clear that they're like, yeah, I don't think they have any right to take down Twitch channels. There is none of their content there. It was pretty clear on that.
Yeah.
And I mean, the previous, you know, Dota TV guidelines that they link in this blog post, they were vague. And there were some issues with that. Like, what does a commercial stream mean? Isn't every stream commercial because you're building your personal brand, even if it's just like you and literally nothing else? So that's vague. But
yeah.
These new ones are like, yeah, no, fucking, of course, guys, just don't put ads. Don't, like, you know, have sponsors for your stream, the normal commercialization stuff, and you're good to go. And also, don't fucking issue DMCA notices for our video game.
Yeah.
It was so good.
There was a statement from ESL before this, when there was some, you know, obviously some initial reaction to the DMCA stuff, and they were like, there is, you know, this Dota TV guideline that, you know, people who aren't profiting off of it can, you know, stream Dota TV, and that's totally fine. And that's why we're issuing takedown notices. It's like, wait, what? We just went from A to J? Where was
it was so strange, because the official ESL account or whatever, I don't fucking know, one of them, tweeted something, I think it was like yesterday, saying that they're going to stop, they're not going to take down any more streams. And then during the AMA today, like, Ulrich says, like, no, this is the way we've always done it for our tournaments, yada, yada, yada. You know, we're legally issuing takedowns for our content that we legally produce the tournament and stuff. And people are like, no, no. And it also contradicted what ESL said, that ESL Twitter said about not issuing takedowns anymore. It's just like a fuck fest.
Yeah, it's a messy situation. That
and I'm glad to see Valve actually responded. It's pretty quick for Valve, honestly.
Yeah, it was.
Maybe Wickham just, like, jumped on the blog or something, but yeah, it's pretty good.
I mean, you know, it wasn't quite ESL as an ass, but I'll take it.
Yeah. Also, I don't think I said anything about it during the episode. This is the episode, wow. But, I mean, I'm not too crazy about the concept of Facebook becoming a streaming platform anyways. We didn't really talk about the concept of, like, oh, is it healthy to have competition, and that's why they went to Facebook, and like they want to get away from being locked onto Twitch. And there's something to talk about with, like, competition making, you know, not having Twitch be the monopoly, but there are other services that do it better. And also, I don't really like, Facebook has enough power. I don't really want them to become a Twitch competitor. I mean, Twitch is owned by Amazon. They have, like, the same resources if they really wanted to or something like that. But I'm not too crazy about Facebook being, like, the streaming platform, because they're like everybody else, but they also collect weird amounts of information about people and stuff, because in the end, you are the product. And that was another thing that was so out of touch in Ulrich's AMA. He was talking about, like, you know, it's great that there's these consumers that watch your content, but there's just no direct revenue stream. So that's why you have to search out sponsors and broadcasting rights. And it's like, oh, unfortunately, there's no way for, you know, you to give us value. And it's like, no, that's sponsors. You don't get it. Or a treasure or something if you get those in the game. Oh, mm-hmm. There was just, he was just so seemingly out of touch.
So I have a story. This week, I logged into Facebook, right? That's the story. I haven't logged into Facebook in like 3 months. Fuck Facebook.
Yeah, I think he even said something stupid like, or maybe it was probably just a miswording, but people were complaining about you have to log into Facebook to view it, which isn't strictly true, but it's more difficult if you don't log into Facebook to view the actual stream. And then he's like, yeah, I mean, it's the same as Twitch, right, guys? And people are like, wait, no. On mobile, you don't have to log into Twitch to watch any streams.
Mm-hmm. Well, or not on mobile.
I mean, just any
corporation Twitch.
Yeah, try to like be like, oh, you know, we're trying to be buddy buddy with you guys. Just I don't know. I get that you can't like the internet and like general consumer culture, at least in the US, you can't be like, hey guys, we're a business actually, so we do have to make money so that we can pay people and make profits and stuff. But when they go like the, oh, we're buddies with you, yada yada, we're just trying to do the best for you, that also sucks too. And then when they try to be like, hey, we're going to do an AMA so we can explain ourselves because we've struck the wrong tone, and then their actual like actions are like, no, we're business, fuck you guys, we don't understand where the value is created in our business, but fuck you guys. It was so weird, and it was so predictable that the AMA would go horribly, that the Facebook streaming wouldn't be excellent, so don't like throw a tantrum about it for the first time you ever try it.
It was a mess. But there's plenty of podcasts even without this little drop-in, so I think we should probably stop it here. Yeah.
Yep.
Back to the episode. All right, well, I think that's it for this episode of Bottle Crow. We're not going to talk about literally anything but drama this week. Jeez.
They got to give the people what they want.
Well, next week we'll have an Eggs of the Week, and we might have some...
Eggs of the Week? I kind of like... Eggs. Oh, damn it. I really heard eggs, but I was already on Dota 2 Reddit to make sure we didn't miss anything.
No, go ahead and tell me. What's your favorite egg?
I mean, I don't know if I like.
Is it a Togepi egg? Eggs.
Togepi. That's the Pokemon.
That's the Pokemon. Got it. Nailed it. That's the one.
Isn't that on your Pokemon? Oh, sorry. Grandma Cease came on the podcast.
Oh, see, I thought she was pretty cool because she likes Tron. But
yeah, she's a big Tron. She was actually in Tron. My grandmother, Jeff Bridges.
That wasn't
the sound at all.
That sounded terrible.
No. I need water.
All right. Well, in the interest of getting you water, thank you everyone for listening to this episode of Bottle Crow Reborn. You can find us on various podcatchers. If you want to give us a rating, review, or tell your friend about us, we would appreciate that. I want to give a big shout out to Reddit user Promoti, a.k.a. Jeffrey Bryce, who is the creator of the Highlander Music Pack, which is Dota 2 Music Pack. He previously created the Harmonies of New Bloom Music Pack, which we had as our intro and outro here on the show for a long time. You can get that in-game in Dota 2, but now he's got a new music pack. He's actually had it for a while, but it is on the Steam Workshop, and you should vote for it. There will be a link in the show notes. You should help it get in-game. I also want to give a big thank you to Ashley Ryan, a.k.a. Spimmy, who created our podcast art. You can find more of her work at patreon.com/Spimmy. There's also I'm part of Scanline Media. That's me and a friend of mine, and this show and some other stuff that we do is part of Scanline Media. And if you want to help out that effort, you can go to patreon.com/scanlinemedia, and you know the page there. I'll tell you what we're about and what you can get and all that good jazz. Thanks
Love
so much,
jazz.
Guys. We'll see you next week.
Will that make it in the podcast?
Peace out.